Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las...
Podcast.
Shining at the end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las Podcasts. This is episode number 142, recorded from the De Fauntleroy studio in Westerly, Rhode Island. I'm your host, Gary. I'm all alone again this week, but that's quite all right because I have plenty I can talk about. I can fill time like the best of them. I just can keep talking and talking and talking about nothing in particular, which is what this show does best, talk about nothing. So in the absence of my co-host and my cousin Mike, you'll just be hearing me nonstop for the duration of this podcast, which unfortunately for you, or maybe fortunately for you, it depends on your feelings on Mike, means that you'll be hearing a little different perspective on things, and I don't get any feedback from Mike, which can be good, because he has strong opinions about things, and he's usually wrong in those opinions, so I don't have to argue with him and prove how right I am. So this could end up very well for me. I'm looking forward to it, nonetheless. Although I do miss my buddy. I'm looking forward to his return to the podcast. Eugene still cannot get the internet connection going. We've had some technical difficulties and work things going on at the South Tampa. I don't even know where the new studio is. That's part of the problem. He's moved, and he didn't give me his address, so I just have Eugene going door to door trying to set up these connections and hoping he finds either Fenway, Susie, or Mike hanging out at one of these McMansions down there. It was like a $2.5 million McMansion we put up for those guys, and he didn't even give me the address, so that's gratitude for you, I guess. This week coming up is Thanksgiving, which is a great American holiday. One of the best. It's all about eating, which is something that this podcast very much endorses, is eating. I'm hosting, or I shouldn't say I. We are hosting, my wife and I, and your Gina, I suppose, are hosting Thanksgiving once again at our house. And we have both sides of the family, the immediate family, come over. So there's 10 people, well, 10 adults and one Yergina in attendance for Thanksgiving. And this year, believe it or not, I have decided to go all out. I don't know if it's all out, but I'm doing a fresh turkey for the first time. I've always done the frozen ones that you get at the supermarket for like 59 cents a pound. But this year, I decided I wanted to see if it was worth it and go for the fresh turkey and try that thing out. So I ordered one from the Westerly Packing Company just this week. And I'm going to go pick it up either Tuesday or Wednesday. And I'm very excited about that. So we're going to do that. A little cornbread stuffing. We got some Brussels sprouts on the menu. Some butternut squash. Of course, mashed potatoes. Gravy. I'm trying to think what else. A couple other things that are escaping me right now. But it's always good. The appetizers are always good. You get stuffed mushrooms as an appetizer. And a few different things. You know, vegetables with dip. Things like that. It's always a festive event. Plenty of beers on tap. Not literally on tap, but available for drinking. We usually have sangria, things like that. Maybe, you know what? I didn't even think about this until right at this moment. Because I get up so early to get the turkey in the oven and going, maybe I'll start my Thanksgiving morning with a nice spicy Bloody Mary, because I do have some vodka hanging around. I don't use it that often, but I have it. So maybe I'll get like a small thing of Bloody Mary mix and whip up a little Bloody Mary for first thing in the morning as I'm getting that turkey going. Might as well start Thanksgiving off on the right foot. Actually, one of the things that I always do, so that won't be the first thing because I need to actually leave the house, but what I do in the morning is I'll run out and get some donuts and an iced coffee and the newspaper, the Thursday paper, because it has all the Black Friday ads, which I love going through. So once you get everything going for the meal, the potatoes, get the turkey stuffed, get it in the oven, start it cooking. I get the paper, sit down on the couch, watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and go through the Black Friday ads while last minute things are being done around the house, and that's always good. So maybe sometime in between going out to get the paper and getting the turkey in the oven, I might get a Bloody Mary in the mix, but It'll be there. The option is on the table. I just have to remember to buy the Bloody Mary mix at the supermarket when I go this weekend to get all my other Thanksgiving supplies. And actually, Por Favor Frank enjoys that drink, so if I get a nice mixer, he'll probably indulge with me during the day, which is always nice to get a couple drinks in. Because I usually do the beer. I'll drink a few beers on Thanksgiving, but a Bloody Mary is a good way to start it off. You know, liquor before beer, you're in the clear. So if I start off with a Bloody Mary or two, and then slowly graduate to beer for the rest of the day, I think I'll be just fine. I guess we'll wait and see. Because I get up early on Friday and I do some shopping, Black Friday. I usually go to Home Depot because they have wreaths and poinsettias on sale, always on Black Friday. So I go get some of that for Christmas, maybe do a little bit of shopping. There's a Walmart in town. They usually have some good deals on Black Friday. So I'll get up early and go to the stores and do a little bit of that. I think JCPenney, there's one in town, and they usually give away a gift card for the first hour or so. So I try to go there. If a place is giving away free money, I'll usually go there and try to spend it a little bit. So that's always good. Enjoy that. And then, obviously, after Thanksgiving, it's Christmas season, which is the best time of year. And just the whole week leading up to Thanksgiving, get the tree on the weekend after Thanksgiving, put the tree up, decorate the house for Christmas. It's just a great, it's one of my favorite weeks of the year because you start it off with a short work week, you get Thanksgiving, and then you go right into Christmas, get the house decorated, get the tree put up. Oh, it's a great time of year. I love it. Anyway, that's enough of this. I'm going to introduce my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week, and I'm going through my Sam Adams Fall Sampler Pack. Last week I had the Caramel Bock. This week is the Sam Adams Maple Ale, 6.4% alcohol by volume, and it is described on the bottle as this: vibrant in color, as vibrant in color as the liveliest fall foliage with a deep red hue, supporting rich notes of caramel and vanilla, followed by a smooth maple finish. Warming enough for a chilly fall day, these autumn flavors dance against a lightly sweet malt background. It's good. I like this kind of stuff, the maple ale. Smells sweet. Almost smells like cotton candy, which is a weird thing to say, but that's the smell I get, cotton candy. But it doesn't taste sweet. It's not super sweet tasting. You get just little hints of that sweetness. Yeah, it's good. That's a very good one. I enjoy that one, Sam Adams. All right, on that note, time to take the first break, and I will be right back and get into the meat of the episode. I guess that would be turkey this week, wouldn't it? All right, we'll be back.
Thanksgiving's over.
Yes, the cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Ooh, the turkey looks great. Thank you for loving me.
Len.
Thank you for being there.
Please.
Thank you for loving me.
Oh, God.
Everyone's thanking. The whole
Len.
World's thanking you.
Stop.
Thanking
Len.
Us
Stop.
For thanking you.
Len.
Kill the turkey.
Len.
The cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Ooh, the turkey looks great. Thank you for loving me.
Len.
Thank you for being there.
Please.
Thank you for loving me. Everyone's thanking. The whole
Len.
World's thanking you. Thanking
Stop.
Us for thanking you.
Okay, I'm back from break. This is episode number 142 of the Por Favor podcast. In this week's episode, since it is Thanksgiving this week, I am going to talk about 5 Thanksgiving options at Disney World. So these are going to be the 5 restaurants that you would try to get a reservation to for your Thanksgiving dinner, with the caveat of none of the obvious. So I tried to go a little outside the box on these. Maybe a place that you could actually get a reservation to leading up to Thanksgiving, not, you know, 180 days out like everything else. You're not going to find the normal turkey, potatoes, and gravy, but it's still going to have a good vibe, and I think it'll be a good meal for Thanksgiving, and I'll explain why as I go through the menus to each place. So that's my theme for this week's episode. 5 places at Walt Disney World where you can have a good Thanksgiving meal under the radar. Probably get an easy reservation to these places. Now, actually, nothing's easy Thanksgiving week. It's just so crowded, but it's a little easier than some of the other places that you would think of, like a Garden Grill or a Liberty Tree. These are more off the beaten path, things you wouldn't think of for Thanksgiving, but I think they fit the Thanksgiving theme, and you'll feel like it's a Thanksgiving meal eating at these places on Thanksgiving with your loved ones. So let's get right into it. The first one I came up with, this is the first one that hopped into my mind, so I'm going to say it first, is that Disney's Hollywood Studios, and we are looking at the 50s Primetime Cafe, which you may be saying to yourself, of course, that is your Thanksgiving choice. This is probably the most likely one that people have done or thought about for a Thanksgiving meal in the past. And it's not because of anything that's on the menu, because they don't have any turkey on the menu. But they will have, well, occasionally they do, because they have a blue plate special, which could be pretty much anything. And I'm guessing it might be turkey on Thanksgiving. But it's just a home-style comfort food place, and that's really what Thanksgiving is all about. You look at this menu, you can get a chicken noodle soup, onion rings, crab cake, fried herb and garlic cheese, served with raspberry sauce, grapes, and applesauce. That's like a cheese, like a brie, something like that, to go with as a appetizer. So those appetizers sound pretty good. Maybe a chicken noodle soup, nice hearty soup to start off your Thanksgiving meal. And then, for an entree, there's plenty of good options that you could go with and feel like you're at home around the table for Thanksgiving, because you have chicken pot pie, you have meatloaf, you have fried chicken, you have a pork chop, you have pot roast. None of those things are usually served on Thanksgiving, but they are served with mashed potatoes and gravy and vegetables. So because of that, it's going to feel like Thanksgiving. Get a little pot roast, this mom's old-fashioned pot roast, slow-cooked until fork tender. Serve with roasted garlic, mashed potatoes, brown gravy, carrots, celery, and onions. Like I said, it comes served on top of mashed potatoes with some vegetables. $21. Aunt Liz's Gold Fried Chicken, again, comes with mashed potatoes and gravy and some vegetables. The meatloaf, again, with mashed potatoes and gravy. I think that's really the key here, is that you're getting some mashed potatoes and gravy with this, which is going to keep you in that general mood of Thanksgiving. And that chicken pot pie, that looks very good. I'm looking at a picture here. A creamy, cheesy mixture of chicken, mushrooms, carrots, celery, onions, and peas topped with a flaky pastry. So you don't get the potatoes with that one, but it still looks a lot like a Thanksgiving feast. I feel like you can't go wrong with the 50s Primetime as your Thanksgiving choice. Plus, you're in the living room. You're in the living room from the 50s, so you'll even feel like you're at home sitting down at those formica tables and everything like that. And let's not forget dessert, because on Thanksgiving, there's always room for dessert. And the one that comes closest to what you would be used to having on Thanksgiving is apple crisp, because you're going to have probably pumpkin pie and apple pie on Thanksgiving, so at least the apple crisp is pretty close. So that's my choice for Hollywood Studios. If you're looking to have Thanksgiving dinner there, I would definitely suggest 50s Primetime Cafe. Probably a little bit easier to get than like a Garden Grill or a Liberty Tree or some of the fancier places for Thanksgiving, but it's still probably the most difficult reservation at Hollywood Studios for Thanksgiving, because that's probably on a lot of people's lists. The next place I thought of, and this one is definitely, it's not even a sit-down, and I'm at Animal Kingdom. And for some reason, I don't know why, I couldn't get it out of my head, to go with Flame Tree Barbecue for Thanksgiving at Animal Kingdom. I could just imagine a family of 5 or 6 or 10 going through that quick service line and getting, you know, 2 orders of ribs, 2 orders of chicken, some pulled pork, all the sides, a lot of cornbread. Just plopping everything down in the middle of a table, getting a seat along the water, and just digging in. A nice messy feast with these slab of St. Louis ribs served with baked beans, coleslaw, and cornbread. You get the chicken, which is very good, served with beans, coleslaw, and cornbread. So you're getting that, and then they do have a mixed green salad that you could have. Most people would probably skip out on that, but they have onion rings and french fries, so you can get your starch with that. It's definitely a low-budget type of Thanksgiving feast, but it's a feast nonetheless, because you're going to be passing the ribs and digging in with your fingers, licking the fingers with the sauce, and the chicken, at least you're having some poultry with the chicken and the pulled pork. You're missing the mashed potatoes, but you can do the the French fries with the pulled pork and cheese on it. So that's like a gloppy potato mess. And vegetables are hard to find at this place. But I guess if you're at Disney, you're not too worried about the vegetables at Thanksgiving. So that's my pick for Animal Kingdom. I couldn't really say Tiffin's because that's awful fancy. And I don't know. That's not what I think of when I think Thanksgiving. I don't think of a fancy restaurant. And Yak and Yeti, as much as I like Chinese food, I don't know if I'd want that for Thanksgiving. Tusker House wouldn't be a bad pick because it's a buffet, and I'm guessing because they have a carving station, they'd probably have turkey on Thanksgiving, but I also think that's going to be very busy on Thanksgiving for that reason. So I'm sticking with Flame Tree. This one's really my wild card in there, but I think that's a good option to have your Thanksgiving meal at Flame Tree Barbecue on Thanksgiving. Just order a couple of everything on the menu and pass around the filth and really dig in. Roll up the sleeves, get a lot of napkins and wet wipes and go to town. I think it'd probably be a lot of fun. People could, it's probably a Thanksgiving you would never forget, the year you had barbecued ribs and French fries with pulled pork on top for your Thanksgiving dinner. Sounds like fun to me. Sign me up for that. The next one, and this is another one that's a little outside of the box. I guess they all are by definition in this episode. This is something that I'm trying to find Thanksgiving outside the box. But at Epcot, I thought of a few places. Obviously, Garden Grill jumps out because they have that family style with the steak and the... I'm forgetting what they have. They have the potatoes and the vegetables and the salad. It's more of a traditional family-style feast that you would get on Thanksgiving. But this one, this place that I decided is in the Germany Pavilion, Beer Garden, and it's a buffet, and some of the items you can get, and they're very hearty and filling items, and the tables there, this was the main reason for my thought of Thanksgiving, because they have those long tables and everyone sits together, and what's more like a holiday than having one long table with people you know and some people you don't actually at the tables, because when you go there you just get seated amongst everybody. If you have a big enough party, I'm sure you could take over a whole table, but if it's just, you know, a handful of people, then you're going to be enjoying your Thanksgiving meal with others, which is not a bad thing. But look at these hot buffet items that are listed here that may be included. They have braised beef, sauerbraten, which is marinated pot roast, potato dumplings with breadcrumb butter, a herring salad, I don't know what that, Schleswig Holsteiner style, I don't know what that means, rotisserie chicken, flavored with rosemary and thyme, that's very close to turkey, fish, pork shank gratin with fried onions, roasted potatoes with fresh herbs, there you go, spetzel, a sausage platter with bratwurst, Rexenburger and double smoked pork on sauerkraut, meat patties in a red wine sauce, white veal sausages with sweet mustard and pretzel rolls, cheese spetzel with glazed onions, pork schnitzel, Vienna style, red cabbage, some salmon, carrots, mini frankfurters, mac and cheese, roast pork. So that's all like hearty home style stuff. Maybe it's more German influenced, but you have the chicken, you have the sausages, you have the potatoes, you have vegetables. You could definitely make a nice smorgasbord of a Thanksgiving feast at Beer Garden. Plus, there's some entertainment, and like I said, you can have giant steins of beer, and you're sitting at one long table with everyone there, which is nice. There's also the cold items, like the salads and things like that, which I usually skip over at the buffets, because you can get a salad anywhere. Even though some of these are a little different, I still usually stick with the hot items at buffets. The desserts here aren't anything really out of the ordinary. They have cookies, black forest cake, cheesecake, fresh fruit salad, vanilla pudding with chocolate chips, rote grusette, I don't know what that is, with vanilla sauce, apple strudel with vanilla sauce, that sounds good. I think that's their staple is the apple strudel. Sounds pretty good. That would be a good one to have for your Thanksgiving dessert, an apple strudel. Looking at some of these pictures that people have posted from Beer Garden, they have a carving station, which has some roast pork and meatloaf. They have meatballs and gravy. Pork schnitzel looks good. the German sausage and sauerkraut. Yeah, this stuff looks really good. I think that's a good choice for Thanksgiving at Epcot, going to Beer Garden and really digging in with some beer steins and a big long table filled with all sorts of comfort food. Even if it's stuff you're not familiar with, you know it's going to be good stuff. Potatoes, meat, sauerkraut. People will be loosening the belt buckles when they're done with that meal for sure. Sounds delicious. And at like $38 a head, I think it was, for the buffet, it's a good deal for your Thanksgiving. Although I'm sure it goes up a little bit at Thanksgiving because everything is a little bit more pricey around the holidays at Walt Disney World. That's how it goes. There's nothing we can really do about that. I guess we should move over to the Magic Kingdom. This one I struggled with, I have to admit. Nothing in Magic Kingdom really jumped out at me for Thanksgiving as an outside-the-box kind of place. Obviously, Liberty Tree, it's probably the toughest reservation to get for Thanksgiving because they have that traditional Thanksgiving meal served family style. So you get the roast turkey and the stuffing and the potatoes and the vegetables anyway, and that's what people want. And I totally understand that. So I decided to do a complete 180 and went to the most outside-the-box place, probably the place that no one would think of to go to on Thanksgiving. And it's the newest place. It's the Jungle Navigation Company Skipper Canteen. And the reason I picked this isn't because of any home-style food. I just imagine it's the best food at Magic Kingdom. I've heard a lot of good things about it. Feel like you could probably get a seat somewhat easily, and it gives you a little adventure to have on Thanksgiving as a family because some of these things are a little unusual. People probably wouldn't think about getting these types of meals on Thanksgiving, or maybe at all for some of them. But the stuff sounds really good, and there's things you can try and share as a family. I mean, there's plenty of appetizers like the house-made arepas, which has slow-cooked beef, black beans, queso fresco, and these little flatbreads called tostones, I believe is how it's pronounced. There's a bread service that comes with it, which sounds good. There's a si-shu-mai, which is a dumpling, a blend of pork, shrimp, edamame, and spices wrapped in guiza skin and steamed. Those look and sound really good. For the dinner, I would say split a few of these, and you really can't go wrong with the grilled steak, the Dr. Falls signature grilled steak, shrimp loin, asado marinated in sofrito and served with yucca planks, avocado salsa, and house-made chimichurri. The chicken tastes like chicken because it is crispy fried chicken with citrus and ginger-scented rice, chili glaze, and seasonal vegetables. That's as close to Thanksgiving as you're going to get at this place. Some poultry with veggies and rice, so don't think you're getting any closer to that. So definitely a couple orders of that would be good to go around. This char siu pork is a marinated grilled pork served with Chinese broccoli and a choice of 5-grain or white rice. This stuff looks really good. It's that deep, deep red. Like, you know when you get the boneless spare ribs from the Chinese takeout? It looks like that color red, which really sounds good to me. And it looks like a pretty good portion. I'm looking at a picture here with, like, 3 big pieces of meat. So that'd be something good to get to share. Maybe some lamb chops seasoned with North African Berber spice blend and served with a lentil stew. That looks pretty good as well. And then there's also that whole fried fish for the really adventurous people. It's a head-on whole fried fish served with rice, grilled scallions, and a soy ginger vinaigrette. And that could be something that people might want to dig into as a family. For the more adventurous eaters out there, I don't know if that would fly at my family Thanksgiving, but if you have a family that's willing to take a couple chances with their Thanksgiving meal, that whole fried fish might be a popular choice as well. The desserts, maybe get a Dole Whip after you're done, because none of these really stick out to me and scream like that home-style dessert to me. Maybe the Kungaloosh, which is a chocolate cake with caramelized bananas and served with a cashew caramel ice cream topped with coffee dust. That sounds amazing. Doesn't really remind me of a holiday, but I guess nothing at this place does. So you might as well go with that one. I mean, the heck with it, get all of them. The coconut bar with pineapple basil compote and vanilla cream. Bertha's Bon Bon Lawn Cake with mango lime sorbet. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not. Bon, B-A-N-H, Bong, B-O-N-G, Lawn, L-A-N. It's weird. Vanilla chiffon cake soaked with lemongrass ginger syrup. Not my thing, but I'm sure some people out there would like it. And then quicksand is jasmine rice pudding with mango sauce, lemon curd, and hibiscus meringue with pineapple. Again, I like rice pudding, but that doesn't sound like that would be really up my alley. But I'm sure there's plenty of things on that menu that people would like. And again, this more is in line with like Flame Tree, is something that you'd never forget the Thanksgiving where you had a head-on whole fried fish to split amongst the family on Thanksgiving. So there's something a little bit charming and romantic about splitting a whole animal with the family on a meal. Like, you get that turkey and you carve it up there. It's kind of the same thing with that fried fish. You get the fish and you portion it out to everyone. Everyone gets to try a little bit of it. So that sounds like that might be a good thing to do. Now, the last place I thought of, number 5 out of 5, this is at Disney Springs. And just the name alone made it stick out. It's called Homecoming, Florida Kitchen and Shine Bar. This is by Chef Art Smith. He was a famous chef. He still is a famous chef. He was Oprah's personal chef for quite a while, and he's from Florida. And now he's opened this restaurant at Disney Springs. And I've heard good things. I've seen some of the menu items. I've seen some pictures, and they look really good. This is the type of place where you're going to feel like you're having a Thanksgiving meal. And actually, I wouldn't be surprised if they have a special menu there on Thanksgiving, but I'm just going to go through assuming they don't. And these are your options. And really, you could get anything on this menu, and you're going to feel like you are at a Thanksgiving feast down south, because these are some great options for a Southern style Sunday dinner. And you can just kind of parlay that into your Thanksgiving meal. Look at the Jasper board, which is an assortment of pimento cheese, smoked sausage, shaved ham, bread and butter pickles, and candied pecans. That sounds absolutely perfect to start off your Thanksgiving meal. You can't get anything better than that, unless maybe you go to this, the Church Lady Deviled Eggs, homecoming style whole deviled eggs. There's a picture of these. They actually come in like a little egg carton. So it's 3 eggs, obviously, so 6 portions cut in half. Looks like it has some crumbled bacon on top. They look really good. I love deviled eggs. It's an acquired taste, but man, I love deviled eggs. Another appetizer is called Bee Haven Bay Fried Green Tomatoes. I've seen pictures of this, and they look really good. I've never had fried green tomatoes. I'd like to try it. They come with a shaved ham on top with a remoulade sauce. Sounding like Mike. A remoulade sauce, and they're dressed with local greens. They look really good. Big, thick slices of tomatoes fried up with that ham right on top. It looks like a little sweet and tart flavors going on. Then they have the Bunch of Puppies, which is house-made pimento cheese hush puppies served with red jalapeno jelly. My mouth's actually watering reading that. That sounds so good. Shrimp cocktail, I mean, take it or leave it. Some people like to have something like that on Thanksgiving. It doesn't really fit in with my idea of it, but that's okay. And then we have barbecue chicken wings, jumbo wings, tossed in HFK, which I'm assuming is Homecoming Florida Kitchen, sweet and spicy barbecue sauce topped with benne seeds, which I assume are like sesame seeds. They look like sesame seeds, except there's black ones and white ones. That sounds pretty good. And then Anna Maria Fish Dip, an iconic Florida favorite. Smoked in-house and served with buttermilk crackers. So, a fish dip. I don't know what that is. It's a Florida favorite, but that's something I'd be willing to try. All those appetizers sound really good. Move on to the dinner. Although the soups and salads, they have a fried chicken chop salad, a harvest salad with grilled steak, and a reunion salad. I don't know if I would necessarily think of any of those for an appetizer on Thanksgiving, but maybe that's just because my family never does salad on Thanksgiving. But The fried chicken chopped salad sounds really good. Mixed green, eggs, heirloom cherry tomatoes, cucumber tossed with icebox dressing, cheddar biscuit croutons, and fresh herbs. Yeah, that sounds really good. Harvest salad with steak, mixed greens, roasted red peppers, corn, white cheddar cheese, heirloom cherry tomatoes, house-made balsamic dressing, topped with grilled tenderloin, avocado, and hush puppies also sounds good. And the reunion salad, seasoned shrimp, romaine, cucumber, Kalamata olives, pepperoncini, heirloom cherry tomatoes, shaved red onions, feta, Greek dressing, and a house-made potato salad. That sounds good, too. The kitchen plate is a sample of all three house-made sides, which I don't know what their sides are, but that sounds really good. And then this here, the Addie Mae's chicken and dumpling soup. Simple and delicious. Let's look at this picture. Okay, so it's more of like a noodle. There's two schools of thought on the chicken dumplings. Some people do like big honkin' dumplings that go in there, and some people make their dumpling dough and kind of make them into noodles and drop them in and let them puff up like that. This looks like the latter, but the broth looks really good. Big chunks of chicken. That looks quite tasty. See if I can find these sides. Oh, there we go. Here's these sides that he was talking about up there. Cheddar cheese drop biscuits, a southern slaw, coleslaw, creamy mashed potatoes, cucumber salad, iron skillet sweet potatoes with caramelized cane sugar. That's a perfect side for Thanksgiving. Mama's mac and cheese, again, perfect for Thanksgiving. And the last side is KC greens, which is kale and collard greens. Braised and has some white onions on top, it looks like. Oh, red onions, maybe. So there you go, some sides for your Thanksgiving feast. They also have a basket of fries and southern-style green beans. So plenty of good options for your sides for your Thanksgiving meal here at Florida Kitchen, whatever this is called, Homecoming Florida Kitchen. Now, on to these entrees. This first one, or maybe these first two, sound like the definite choices I would go for on my Thanksgiving. The first one is Art's Fabulous Fried Chicken, Chef Art Smith's signature dish. Buttermilk brine for 24 hours and perfectly fried and served with creamy mashed potatoes, cheddar drop biscuits, and love. That sounds fantastic. Sounds like it'd be perfect for Thanksgiving. Definitely a thumbs up for that one. The only thing is, this could be better, because this is fried chicken and donuts. Two pieces of Art Smith's famous fried chicken served with house-made sugar donuts and creamy mashed potatoes. So donuts instead of cheddar drop biscuits. It's a tough choice. I don't know. I might have to, maybe if it's Thanksgiving, you do both, see how it goes with those donuts. Chopped pork barbecue place. This is like pulled pork dressed with that sweet and spicy barbecue sauce. Mac and cheese and biscuits come with this meal. Looking at a picture of that there, it looks fantastic. Big portion of pulled pork, so that's something good to split. Fried catfish, accompanied by hush puppies and grits, a perfect southern dish. Very homey, home style. I mean, this whole menu would be perfect. Again, this is another one where you would do all six entrees and just split it between everybody. Everyone gets to try a little bit of everything and would go home happy. After the catfish is the shrimp and grits. Florida shrimp pan-seared with tasso ham gravy and served over creamy Bradley grits. I don't know what all that means, but I'm looking at this picture, and the shrimp is just smothered in this gravy, that ham gravy. I've never heard of ham gravy, but by the looks of it, it's something I would very much enjoy. And just the extra gravy is just soaking these grits, and I'm starting to come around on grits. I was never a big fan of grits. But down, Disney's been pushing them a lot. At Food and Wine, a few places had the grits. I know at Animal Kingdom, there was a place that had grits. And now, a lot of the breakfast buffets, they do the cheddar grits for breakfast. And now I'm looking at this shrimp and grits. It looks fantastic. I think Disney's converted me to a grits guy. And I'm not sure how I feel about it, but that looked really good, that shrimp and grits. And then the fish of the day, which is the fresh Florida catch of the day, grilled and served with iron skillet sweet potatoes and KC greens. Again, everything sounds like a perfect Thanksgiving meal from Florida Kitchen or Homecoming Florida Kitchen. And even for dessert, we have the hummingbird cake, the famous pineapple banana cake with cream cheese frosting, from Chef Art Smith's best-selling cookbook, Back to the Table, served with vanilla bean ice cream. Let's look at a picture of this thing. Holy smokes, that thing looks huge. Big, thick icing on this white cake. Little ice cream there. Pineapple banana cake. Sounds really good. Then there's a shine cake. This is his signature dessert, an adult-only butter cake soaked with moonshine syrup and served with a scoop of vanilla bean ice cream. Okay, that looks good, too. It's like a pound cake, and it's just, I guess it's soaked in alcohol. So that sounds pretty good. Good way to end Thanksgiving, but nothing better than this here, the Hamilton County Pecan Pie. It's a 100-year-old traditional Smith family farm recipe served with a scoop of vanilla ice cream available seasonally. I guarantee that's available on Thanksgiving because that's a perfect Thanksgiving dessert, a little pecan pie. They also have donuts. You can get just those donuts, apparently the ones that come with the fried chicken, freshly made mini orange sugar donuts, and Auntie's chocolate cake, luscious chocolate cake with chocolate pecan frosting. All those desserts sound perfect way to end big, rich, heavy dessert after a big, rich, heavy meal. No way to go wrong with that. Homecoming, Florida kitchen, probably, I mean, you could give me an option of any place to go on Thanksgiving at Walt Disney World, and that might be my top choice. I don't know, I could care less about turkey, and maybe that's something I should have said going in, that I'm not a huge turkey fan, so actually avoiding turkey on Thanksgiving wouldn't break my heart. Although I did say in the beginning I was excited about the fresh turkey, which I haven't done before, and that is true, I am excited to try that. I don't hate turkey, I just don't look forward to it like some people. So being able to have fried chicken and donuts for my Thanksgiving meal, that appeals to me greatly. I love fried chicken. Fried chicken with sweets are good, like chicken and waffles with some maple syrup on there. So chicken and donuts sounds like it could be a big-time winner for Thanksgiving, and I think if given the chance, that'd be the place I'd want to check out on Thanksgiving for a family dinner. And I don't think anyone would go home unhappy with those options for your Thanksgiving meal. Those appetizers, those sides, and those entrees all sound fantastic. Top it off with those desserts. Cannot go wrong. You would leave a happy family from the homecoming Florida kitchen. The other places I think would definitely be good choices for Thanksgiving if you're looking for something a little outside the box. Skipper Canteen, Flame Tree Barbecue, Beer Garden. Those are definitely outside the box. 50s Primetime, a little more along the more traditional Thanksgiving type of food, I guess home comfort food. And then that homecoming just sounds perfect to me. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm wrong. People might be thinking, why would you want fried green tomatoes and pulled pork for Thanksgiving? But sounds good to me. You can put me down at that meal on Thursday. As long as I'm surrounded by family, I'd be happy with any meal. McDonald's would be fine by me on Thanksgiving, as long as I get to have the day with all those people. Because that's really my favorite part. Waking up early, getting everything ready for my family, having everyone come over and enjoy the day together. It's a nice day where no one really has to worry. No one has to work the next day. It's just a nice, relaxing day to spend with family over food. What's better than that? Spending time with family over a bunch of carb-heavy, you know, stuff-your-belly food, and people watch football and drink beers and have dessert. Everything good. Nothing bad about Thanksgiving. I love it. Looking forward to it. I wouldn't necessarily want to go to Disney on Thanksgiving unless it was going to be like a big family trip with 10 or 12 people. Even that doesn't really appeal to me. I'd rather be home for Thanksgiving and Christmas. I don't mind going around those times down there, but for the holiday itself, I like being at home. Maybe that'll change as I get older and, you know, the kids get older, obviously. I only have one now. One's still on the way, so that's a long ways off. But for now, I like being at home surrounded by family for the holidays. And Thanksgiving, Christmas, really looking forward to this time of year. Just thought it would be interesting to look at some different options for a Thanksgiving meal at Walt Disney World. And maybe it even opened your eyes to some of these places if you're not too familiar with them, especially that homecoming, because it's a newer place. Maybe you didn't have a chance to look at the menu yet, but that looks like the kind of place that you seek out. Next time I'm down there, I might make a point to go for a lunch or dinner at that place because everything looks really good. If that menu stays similar going forward, that's on my short list of places I must try next time I'm down at Walt Disney World. So with all that being said, I think it's time to take another break and come back, and I will wrap this episode up in a nice little bow. So we'll be back after this.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago, it was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant, she lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the...
All right, I'm back from break. You just got through listening to episode number 142 of the Por Favor podcast, where I outlined my five outside-the-box Thanksgiving restaurants at Walt Disney World, one from each park and one from outside the parks. I went with Disney Springs, Homecoming with Art Smith, which sounds like a real winner, place I definitely want to try soon, like I was just saying. Those other places I've been to, actually only Primetime and Flametree. I haven't been to Skipper Canteen. Definitely want to check that place out. And Beer Garden. That's one of those that every time I look at the menu, I'm like, oh, I got to try it. But then when it comes time to making plans going down there, there's always an excuse not to. You can always say, yeah, next time, next time, next time. But at some point, it will be the next time. It's just tough because I know my wife isn't a huge fan of all that food. So to go to a buffet with a style of food that she's not going to like isn't really worth it. Even going with family, the rest of my family was probably hit or miss on that. So that's the kind of thing where if I go down for a business trip with Mike, then the two of us can go and eat sauerkraut and sausages and fart the rest of the day at Epcot. But other than that, it might not be on the agenda anytime soon. But that's okay. It'll be there. I'm pretty confident of that. I don't think that place is going away anytime soon. Definitely want to try it. And the Skipper Canteen, like I said, I would try it. It's not something I'm running to, but every person that has gone there says it's really good. Best food at Magic Kingdom. Nothing on the menu jumps out at me a lot. Maybe that pork that I was talking about, but the rest of it, it all looks good, but there's not one thing on there where I was like, oh, I gotta go. I gotta try this. A lot of those other places have that one signature thing that really draws me there. That one, just everything looks pretty good. And maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised by what I have there when I finally do go. Because everyone says the quality is really good, the menu is very nice, the atmosphere is good. So I'll check it out at some point, I'm sure. I hope. Although that's the kind of place that may not be around for that long. I think the building will be there and it will be a restaurant, but it may not be the Skipper Canteen for long, or it may not have that menu for a long time because it's not super popular yet amongst the everyday theme park goer. So they may end up dumbing down the menu a little bit more and more by the passing months and trying to get it to fill up with reservations. We'll see how it goes. I just don't have a lot of confidence in that thing staying exactly as it is right now, a year from now. Next time I think about Thanksgiving at Walt Disney World, will the Skipper Canteen look the same? Will the menu look similar? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully Disney gives it a chance to catch on its original plans with this menu they have and those that type of food. But I don't know, they'll probably have a short leash. That's an easy thing to change, a menu. Doesn't take a whole heck of a lot of money or anything like that to change up a menu. Obviously, that's something they'll do on a whim. If they feel like they can get a few extra 100 people in there per month or per week, whatever, they're going to do what they have to do to get those people through the doors and spending money there. just a fact of life, and I don't really blame Disney for having that mentality, because they got to put butts in seats, and they got to get money out of people's wallets and into their own. That's the whole point of running the place. As much as people like to think it's all about magic and memories, it's about making money, and that's what Disney does best. They make money, and they're really, really good at making money. So they're going to figure out a way to make the most money out of that space, and I just have a feeling it's not going to involve how it's currently constituted, but maybe they'll prove me wrong. We'll have to just wait and see. I guess on that note, I'll just say happy Thanksgiving. It's time to wrap things up here. You can find the show at www.porfavorpodcast.com on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Search Por Favor Podcast. You'll find us there. Email the show, info@porfavorpodcast.com. You can email me, Gary@porfavorpodcast.com. You can email Mike@porfavorpodcast.com, and follow Mike on Twitter @porfavormike. I think that's about it for the social media and where to find us online. Of course, you can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, leave reviews at those places, and that helps us out. Listen there, give us thumbs up, whatever it is that you can do to show your appreciation and support, and that helps us, goes a long way. I guess with all that being said, I will say happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there listening. Hopefully you listen before Thanksgiving and all this makes sense. If not, oh well, you missed it by a little bit, but you'll still like me reading through menus and talking about filth, because that's what we do best here at the Por Favor Podcast. That's going to do it for episode number 142 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejado de las Podcast. My name's Gary. Have a great day.
The end of every day, there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart, and when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart, and when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
There's a great big
beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow,
and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart, and when it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.